chapter 27, and I'm 1 Samuel. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. And David dwelt in Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, and Hinnom, the Jezreelites, and the Abigail, the Carmelites, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought him no more. And David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day, whereof Ziklag pertained unto the kings of Judah unto this day. At the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. We're going to stop right there and ask God to give us that which we need this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before thee this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we do have our freedoms. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to run to the enemies to get our help. And Lord, I pray that you protect us against the enemies of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Lord, help us to draw near unto you this morning. Lord, there's someone here with a discouraged heart, a broken heart. Someone here has got a heavy heart. I pray that this would be the day they would turn to you and turn that trial over to you. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. David, in this passage, was, I believe he was out of the will of God for 16 months. You see, how do you know he's out of the will of God? Why did David, who fought against the giant, who was the giant? Goliath, right? He fought against Goliath, the giant. And what tribe was Goliath, he was fighting against? The people of Gath. So here, David fights them over here a few chapters earlier. He's fighting for the freedom of the gospel. I say freedom for the Bible, because if you look at the tribe of Judah was fighting these Philistines over here. And the agreement was, whoever would win on this battle, that one would serve the other. So David fights the Philistines. And so several years have gone by. Now where is David? He was fighting against the Philistines. Now he joins the Philistines. I've seen many a person come to church, get all excited about things of God, and it wasn't too many years later, now they join right back up with the very ones they fought against. David, I believe, was out of the will of God for 16 months. I believe there was some despair. Why do you say despair? Because he was running from who? He was running from Saul. If you read the other chapters previously, Saul. Now, who is Saul? Anyone know Saul? The king Saul was his father-in-law. His father-in-law wanted to kill him. And he had been running and hiding out there in the wilderness and the caves, wherever he could hide. And so now he is being pursued with someone who had really a bounty on his head to kill him. And he comes to the point of despair and faces all the difficulty. You say difficulty, I say, how do you get difficulty? 600 men he had to care for. If you had to care for just 3 or 4 employees, it's difficult enough. But when you got to care for 600 people, in those days they didn't have the Walmarts where you went and got anything and everything you wanted. They had to go out and hunt it and get it and had to organize all this crew together. And here he has this heavy burden on him. Then they're pursuing him and trying to kill him. And so David finds himself a period of despair. It was probably the lowest time of his life, because he always fought against the enemies of the children of Israel. But now he's joining up with them. He's in despair, and he's facing all this difficulty, and he was discouragement. How do you know despair? Because I read in verse number one, he said, I will perish. Wait a minute. God's on your side. You're on God's side. How can you perish? Someone asked Lincoln one time, do you think God is on our side? And Mr. Lincoln said, it matters not whether God is on our side, it's whether we are on God's side. And that's where we need to be. David has now gone down to the Philistine and joined their side up. He was at a point of despair. He was having a little talk with himself. You ever have one of those little dialogues with yourself? Be careful what you say to yourself, because you could talk yourself right out of God's best into the world's mess easily. I won't mention the guy's name, but a very famous person played golf, talked himself out of leaving his wife and his kids. And a guy made $10 million for shooting, $10 million for hitting a golf ball and chasing it. Made that kind of money, and he talked himself right onto it. And if you read the transcript that CNN published, he says, I thought I could get away with it. No one will ever know. I owe it to myself. With my money and my wealth, I'm entitled to these kind of pleasures. Friends, be careful what do you say to yourself in a time of despair and discouragement, because you can talk yourself right out of God's best into the world's mess. I think a Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan experienced the same sadness in somewhat in a similar way in grief when he sat in a prison cell in Bedford, England for 12 years. And then you think of what went on back then. If you didn't grow it, you didn't eat it. And here he's in a prison cell, and he refused to stop preaching while he was in prison. And the difficulties that he had at that time, one wife dies and had a child and a child dies and so on. You know, you can read that all through in that Pilgrim's Progress. The slough of the spawn, pliable, is discouraged and returns home only to be mocked by the townsfolk. Be careful what you say to yourself. Depression is never caused by an outward circumstance. Depression is almost always caused by something you put inside. You talk yourself right into it. Suicide is, when I think of this, I think of every 69 minutes, a veteran in the U.S. commits suicide. Every 69 minutes. Suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. There's no need for that. But we're seeing it happening every 69 minutes just with our vets. There's a lot of anger and irritability with these men who have this PTSD. Yeah, I'm not talking about ADHD, attention deficit disorder. My wife sent me this thing the other day, a little boy said, I had ADHD, attention deficit disorder, until my dad took the belt off. All of a sudden, now you got attention. But PTSD is post-traumatic stress syndrome. David is out there fighting the enemy and going through this, or handling 600 men, and now being pursued for his life. And he's come to the point where he is willing to just go join the enemy. You know, sometimes we can talk ourselves right out of church and right into the mess. What happened? What caused this? I think David's prospectus was wrong. If you're looking for an outline, the cause of David's all-time low was his prospectus. He said, I will perish. He was leaning unto his own understanding. Friends, I don't know everything God's doing, but I do know this. God is always up to something good in our life. Amen? Always up to something good. I can't understand it. Why? You know, I just lost a dear loved one. Someone I've known for 48 years. Wow. And you know, I said, God, you're in control. Friends, you need to recognize that God is always up to something good and God is always in control of the circumstances. Don't fight against God. Don't find yourself running down the enemy. Say, what's the use fighting the world? The whole world is going this way. Yeah, but we're not. My son said to me, Dad, everybody's doing this at work. Bob Jones, everybody's doing it. And I said, no, they're not. He said, yes, they are. I said, you're not, so not everybody's doing it. We can talk ourselves into a mess. David has got to the point where his perspective is wrong. He was motivated by fear and not by faith. You can get fearful of the future and you can talk yourself into anything. Here's a young lady, she's 23 years old and she's going to graduate college and she's still single. I'll never get married. Yeah, I'd rather be single wishing I was married than being married and wish I was single. It seems like more than half who do get married wish they were single anyways afterwards. David came to the point where he was pessimistic in his attitude. He thought he would perish by the hand of Saul. He was looking at his problems from a horizontal perspective. He wasn't looking at it from this perspective. He was looking at it from this perspective, a horizontal perspective. He stopped looking at the way God saw the circumstances. When you're going through some difficult times, you need to take a look how God sees those circumstances. Because God has something planned for you. It may be you lost a loss of health, a loss of wealth, a loss of a loved one. God is always up to something good. And if you live long enough, maybe you can finally get the wisdom to see, hey, I'm sure glad. I've told my wife many a times, I'm sure glad I didn't get what I wanted years ago. Yeah, but a lot of people got what they wanted and then they lost what they could have had. Well, you think about Adam and Eve got what they wanted in the garden and lost what they could have had. And David, he got what he wanted with Bathsheba, they lost what he could have had. And then just go on and on all through the Bible who got what they wanted and lost what they could have had. Friends, we must always keep looking at life from this perspective, not from this perspective. Look at from the vertical. When trouble comes, it's easy to get humanistic in your perspectives. Like Moses, you know what happened? You know, we got all these people out here and he got angry and he smashed the Ten Commandments. And Elijah. Elijah said, I want to die. And he cries out to die. Jonah says, take my life. Friends, Satan knows your weakest point. And he knows when you're physically worn out. He knows when you're emotionally and spiritually drained. He knows when you're burned out. And burnout does happen. You can't keep working 18, 20 hours a day and say it doesn't happen. And some people don't have to work 20 hours a day, just have a number of circumstances. And have someone, a lost loved one. Or two or three lost loved ones on the same day. And you can get burned out real quick. The depression and discouragement exasperates your problem. It blinds us to the perspectives that, the positive perspective that God is up to something good. It blinds us to see the good that God has in everything that he does for us. Friends, survivors are optimistic. If you look at some of our veterans, you'll find that those who've been in through some battles, heavy battles, they're very optimistic after they've gone through those battles. And this morning, we can have this dangerous self-talk. Psalm 53, verse 1, David penned in another chapter of the Bible. He penned, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You can talk yourself and say, God doesn't know what's happening. God doesn't understand my problem. I can tell you, God does know your problem this morning. Beware of what you say to yourself in times of discouragement and depression. Because you can talk yourself right out of the will of God. David talked himself out of the will of God right into the land of the Philistines. He talked himself into an alliance with the king of Gath. And so what does he do? Now he goes down there and he has an alliance with the very king he was fighting against before, who are going to destroy all the children of Israel. Now he joins up with the world. How many times have we seen people get, supposedly make a profession of faith, and then 3 or 4 years later, they're just as living the worldly living as if they never got saved. How can you turn your back on the God who saved you? David got to the point of discouragement. He talked himself in alliance with the king of Gath. Deception. He had more deception. You should never be surprised what you can talk yourself into. Hello? Never be surprised, because you could talk yourself right into the worst situation in the flesh and find yourself right down there in the total discouragement. And then even so, to the point where I said that today every 69 minutes a veteran commits suicide in America. Your attitude in your life determines your altitude in life. Catch that? Attitude is altitude. I'm a pilot. Some of you know that. I fly an airplane, I'm the CFO for Wings Aviation. But anyways, attitude, when you're flying an airplane, a nose high attitude creates altitude, correct? I got a nose low attitude. The nose of the plane's pointed down. I'm going to have a nose low attitude. So your attitude of the airplane determines your altitude. The same thing in life. Your attitude is going to determine your altitude in life. And you can find yourself with some very dangerous self-talk. We see his perspective was wrong. Number two, you see his patience was worn out. He wanted relief from the stress and pressures. He had run from Saul, and he didn't come to the point where the Bible says, wait on the Lord. And you'll renew your strength. Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40:31, wait on the Lord, and you shall mount up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. But some of us want to just go ahead and charge right through and say, I'm going to have to do it myself. No. God can take care of you if you just give God a chance. Sometimes you just got to step aside and say, Lord, I'm taking my hands off this and you're in charge. Yeah, here's Oscar meets Poopsie in 10th grade or something. Oh, and he's, you know, take your hand off this. Let God take care of that problem. Sometimes you just need to turn to God. I say every time we ought to turn to God with those problems. Have you ever felt that someone was out to get you? Here, David was at this point where Saul was pursuing him. And you can imagine somebody was out to get him. You ever felt like someone's out to get your job? You look at the political mess out there today, and you feel like everybody's out there trying to get everybody else's job, trying to destroy people. You don't advance by tearing someone else down. When you have to tear someone else down to build yourself up, you're not going very far. But a lot of people do just that to make themselves feel good. When we get bitterness and hatred in our heart, it will only intensify. The Bible tells us the root of bitterness will spring up and many will be defiled. How many have heard this before? Money is the number one reason why people get divorced. How many have heard that before? Yeah, almost all of us have. You know what? That's not true. Money never caused a divorce. Money is a fruit of a problem, but it's not the root. And the root is bitterness. People don't get divorced over money problems. I've seen people who have very little money. You go to West Virginia, some of those back in the hollow with old coal miners trying to live it and make it with a tin roof house and a potbelly stove and working in those coal mines and trying to make it and growing a few chickens and hunting a few things. And you think, they haven't got much. But when they got the Lord, they got all they need. Bitterness is the number one reason why people get divorced. You get bitter over someone, how he handles money. His wife says to me down there in Paris Island, she said, my husband, just got his reenlistment bonus, and he went out and bought a $60,000 pickup truck. And I want children, I want family, I want a home, and he wants a truck. Yeah. There's a boy who hadn't grown up yet. There's a young man who wants respect of his other soldiers more than he wants the love of his wife. And the wife feels this, and then she turns bitter. Then divorce comes. Divorce is never over money. It's always over bitterness. And nip that bitterness as soon as it starts to dwell. David forgot that God had delivered him, didn't he? Because when you looking back in a few chapters, in chapter 22, you find out David's fighting Goliath. God delivered David from the giant, and God can deliver you from the giant that you're facing in your life. It may not be a physical 9-foot-6 man that's got a big heavy armor and a plate and a sword, but every one of us faces some giant in life. The giant of discouragement is one of those we face often because we have these little talks with ourselves and we forget that God's in control and God is always up to something good in your life. Well, it didn't happen the way I wanted. Yeah, but aren't you glad? And now that you live, I've lived long enough, I look back and say, thank God I didn't get what I wanted back then. Thank God. God gave me just what I needed. He sent those trials, and yeah, when you flunked that exam, you know what? Now looking back, great, because if I had passed that exam, I would have been in law school. I'm glad I didn't go that direction. I'm glad God put me in the pulpit and teaching the law, the Word of God. You know, God's always up to something good. David got his prospectus wrong, and then his patience wore out. He forgot that God delivered him. Have you ever had ever felt that there were some expectations beyond your ability? Yeah. I sit there some days and, you know, it's because our ministry handles tax cases. I get at least, we're averaging, we said 42 calls a day. Some days more. You get 42 calls a day of people who've got problems. You can get discouraged, especially when they're IRS problems. I mean, if you even got one letter from the IRS, it's panic. Yeah. Here, and I think, God, you let me go through those trials back then, so today I look at those, what are seems to be stumbling stones could become stepping stones to grow our faith for the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, sometimes you come to the point you just can't bear it anymore. David, his patience wore out. Be careful what you say to yourself. It is in those times that you can be drawn right into the world. I've seen some preachers, some men in the ministry, who got to the point where financially things weren't working out. I'm just going to throw it all in and I'm going to get a real job where I can get a paycheck and a retirement plan and I don't have to deal with all these people. Like one preacher said, I'd have a great church if just wasn't for all these people I have. Yeah, well, you know, you're dealing with different personalities and different problems all day long. Every man I know who has fallen from the ministry did so because he could not handle the pressures. Same with you. You ever been so overwhelmed with pressures? Friends, there's a way of escape. There's a way of escape when those pressures. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen? God wants to carry your burdens. And David got to his patience was worn out. His perspective was wrong. And then number three, his prayer life was wanting. He quit looking up. His carnal reasoning gave way to lies and rationalization. You say lies. What were the lies? He lies to himself to go down and join up with the Philistines. Then he tells some more lies to this leader of the Philistines, the king, and then they give him this city, a whole city for all his people, 600 men to put him in there. And then he goes on and he tells more and more lies and he ends up killing many of those people. Friends, you don't have to lie to get something done right. Just because you want something, don't twist the truth to make it fit what you want it to fit to get what you want to get done. Always, 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 always tell the truth. And friends, a half truth is a whole lie. You don't have to listen very long on the news media today. I just about had it all of it. I told someone in the hallway here, I'm on a one-man campaign to get Vice President Pence to do something to stop the CNN. Stop it in every airport. I'm tired of flying in and out of the country or different parts of the country. And every airport I go, there's this bias in the news media that none of us can trust. I don't care if you're on the right side or the left side. I can't trust either one of them sometimes because they're so embellished and emotionally caught up, they don't tell the truth anymore. So I said, I want to go put the weather channel in. Everybody who's flying needs to know what the weather is. You say that weatherman's lying too. It seems like that way sometimes. Told us it's going to warm up today and it got cooler and rain. You know, they're all dealing with statistics anyways. But friends, today, don't let yourself get to the point where you have to run away and try to escape. The moment of pleasure was a way of escape here. David escaped and he got down here with the Philistine king and then he starts lying. His prayer life was wanting and he quit looking up. I like that song. Have your heart that's weary. Have your heart that's with heavy burdens to bear. Then it goes on and says, do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? My wife said, please don't sing. I saw that look. But do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Lord? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. If you'll trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. There are spouses today who have talked themselves into leaving their mate. Watch out. Watch out. That doesn't solve a problem. Oh, you don't understand what my husband's like. Yeah, but I know something. Water often seeks its own level and you don't see your own faults. Well, you know, it's not my fault. You know, stop playing a blame game. And how about turning over to the Lord your problem? I've listened to S.M. Davis. I probably sold some of these tapes here and I sold many of those, but he has a story where a lady called his wife up. Dr. Davis says, someone called my wife this morning and she said, my husband's leaving me today. He's had enough of it. He said he's getting out. And so the pastor said, well, let my wife go over there and talk with you. So, and try to help you. So, Dr. Davis sends his wife over to meet this woman, and she goes over there and says, you know, if it's the last day he's going to be home, and he's going to come in this afternoon after work, he's going to come in with a U-Haul truck and pick up all his furniture. He said he's coming home with some guys, and he's getting everything out of here. And then she starts boo-hooing a little bit, and the lady says, the pastor, Davis's wife said, I want you to go get your hair done today. If it's the last day you're going to have the man home, you might as well look good for him for one last time. And then, you know, it's since his last day, what's his favorite meal? Let's go make that. And they went to the grocery store and bought some of the stuff and fixed him up a real nice meal. Then the Mrs. Davis said, I helped her and we cleaned the house for a couple hours, just made it clean, really spotless. The last day home, he's going to come home to a house that's clean. And a wife that's all fixed up and got his favorite meal on the table. And so they did that. And you know, when the guy came home at 11 o'clock at night and drunk. You know what the media say, some of the women, he calls himself a Christian, look at that. Oh, I'm going to say, what did I do wrong? What does God want me to do? God wants me to turn that problem back to him. And so he comes home the next day. And this time he brings two men with a U-Haul truck. And they started going in there and they brought one load out and opened the truck up and put some stuff in. And then the two helpers, they met her and she started talking to them. She was just like she was the day before, all cleaned up and the house is spotless and so on, making it look really nice and homey and so on. And those two men got to talking with her. Her bitterness, she dealt with that the 2 days before. And by the third load, these two guys went and talked to the man who they were helping and said, "We're not going to do this. You're crazy to leave this woman. You can go pack your own stuff, but we're not. We're leaving you. And I think you're making a big mistake." And the two guys walked off. It changed the whole story. Now, the rest of the story, as Dr. Davis told the story to his whole church about this woman and this man. And he said, "You want to know who they are?" And he called off the chairman of his deacons. He said, "That was this couple, the chairman of the deacon board. 25 years ago, they were ready to split up." Why? Because their perspective was wrong, their patience had wore out, and their prayer life was waning. Friends, take your burden to the Lord tonight. Today, don't trade God's best for the world's mess today. You can't trust your feelings. You need to trust God. You're feeling discouraged. Maybe something is happening. Friends, as I said earlier, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And you can destroy yourself, but it's only a temporary problem. It's not there forever and ever. You can't trust your feelings today. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you can lie to yourself to try to justify anything you want to justify. Friends, don't follow your heart. Follow the Bible. And you'll avoid a lot of troubles. Don't make life-changing decisions when you're discouraged. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Does that mean just, what do you mean by trusting? The Bible says, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Turn those cares over. I talked to a woman just the other day, and she said, "You know, I was married 10 years, had 3 children, and all of a sudden I came home one day and I found my husband laying flat on the floor. A massive heart attack at 32 years old." And she said, "How do I get over that?" I said, "Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. Leave it there today. Beware, be careful, and beware what you say to yourself in times of discouragement and depression. You can talk yourself out of the will of God into the world of the Philistines and right out of church. I hear preachers say this often as I deal with preachers. "I'm leaving. There's nothing happening here. There's nothing going on." Friends, hey, you can talk yourself right into it and start believing that God's not in it. God is in it, and God may allow you to go through those times. You see, in this passage here, we saw that there was a disposition of the distortion of the problem. He blew it way out of proportion. When you're discouraged, oftentimes it's because you have blown it out of proportion and not taken it to God in prayer. Secondly, there was not only a distortion of the problem, but there is a disillusion about the answer. In verse number 2, he aligned himself up with the men of Gath. The very ones that he fought against before, who were trying to destroy him and all the Israelites and take God's name off the face of the earth. Now he lines him up with those crowds. Can you imagine someone here today walking out of church and go line yourself up with someone who hates God? But there are often happens, people get discouraged, little things happen, then you start to put a life-changing decision based on one little incident that happened. David was disillusioned about the answer. In verse number 2 and number 3, his decision affected others. Friends, your decisions today are going to affect others around you. You see, you just can't make a decision and say, I'm going to quit church. Because that you quit church, then eventually your children are going to quit church. I've watched this, haven't you? Preacher, you've seen this. When someone says, Pastor, I like your preaching, but I'm just going to look around for a while. That means I'm quitting, but they don't want to tell you. And then you'll find out when parents quit, watch the kids quit, and then 25, 30, maybe 40 years later, I'm thinking of someone right now, 40 years later, that this man had never gone to church, and now the man is in his middle 80s, and he dies, and they called the preacher up and said, Brother Lamb, would you come do the funeral for so-and-so? That guy? Yeah, he hated me back then. Yeah, but he said before he died that the biggest mistake he ever had is when he quit church and left and got mad at you. Would you come and do his funeral? Friends, tonight, you got some problem with someone else, go take care of it. Don't let yourself become disillusioned about the answer. Don't lie to yourself about the answer. The answer you have may affect many others. And David found himself not only affecting himself and going down to Gath, but he took 600 men with it. His decision with Bathsheba took his whole family and destroyed them. Look at all the children David had out of that. What a mess he came up with. Friends, your decisions not only affect you, your decisions affect others. And you can get discouraged. And I'm saying, let me say this. It's not wrong to be discouraged. It's wrong to stay discouraged. Yeah. I can't help getting a flat tire in my car, but it's wrong to keep driving with the flat tire. And I'll get in a lot of trouble. I'll make a mess. And I recognize things happen. I get discouraged in my flesh, but I know the answer. Take it to the burden. Take the burden to the Lord in prayer. He'll help you. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord in prayer. Ask God for forgiveness and get back on track. Something's bothering you. Well, that church's not like it used to be, so I'm going to go somewhere else. Look, maybe if you just got in there and tried to help where you see it's weak, why don't you just stay around and help us to get it to be stronger again? But do you want to go do something else? And when you do not face your problems, eventually your kids will not face the same problems, and they're going to go down the same route, the same thing. Friends, God is there to help you. Discouraged people tend to wool gather. When you get discouraged, you want to get somebody else to join your crowd. And then you say, well, because I'm discouraged, now I want my sister I tell her that, or I want my brother over here to tell this one. And, you know, and then you start to talk to each other, and then you're wool gathering just to sink it a little bit deeper. Friends, listen to God, not your heart and your friends. Listen to God. Someday you will find yourself like Paul Harvey. Someday you'll find yourself like Paul Harvey. If you live long enough, you'll say, and the rest of the story. Because the rest of the story is you'll see what happened because of some decision you made without God years earlier. The rest of the story. We'll all find the rest of the story when we see God someday. How about taking that burden to God today? Outside pressures helps to reveal what you really are. There's some things happen on the outside, and I recognize there are problems that come, and it's too big for me. Take it to the Lord and let God take care of it. Friends, I don't know what you're going through, but I think the biggest thing we need to deal with today is our salvation. I'm saying if you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure that you're sure that you're sure, 120% sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, nail that down today. Get it right. Get it right. Because if you doubt about your salvation, you're going to find other areas you're going to find in doubt. And then you start doubting your mate, you start to doubt your husband, doubt your wife, and then you start doubting your children. And before you know it, you brought a whole group of people down the same road you are with despair. David took 600 men down the same road he was. How about making a U-turn today? Your attitude determines your altitude.